The number one time that managers tell me they follow up is halfway through to make sure it's getting done. Well, if it's a two-month-long project and you follow it up halfway through and it hasn't been done right or it hasn't even been started, now the project is late. And that's how we end up getting in the situation of always putting out fires. Instead, the critical time would be the first 3 days. Face it, if they don't get started on it in the first 3 days, chances are they're going to procrastinate until it's a rush job, and then usually we have rush quality work. Instead, the first 3 days tell us that we're getting the job going, up and running, and chances are we'll be heading in the right direction. Also, when is it more critical to adjust how a project is done? At the end of the project or at the beginning? Let's say, for example, right from your backyard, we launch a rocket to the moon. When is it more important to make adjustments? When it first takes off or when it's ready to land? At the point of landing, it's like, well, do we land in this crater or that crater? Whereas when it first takes off, do we hit the moon or the sun? You see, it's very important to start projects off on the right foot. And by following up the first 3 days of a project, the first 3 hours of a shorter-term project, we know that the project is heading in the right direction. Now, do you have to follow up with someone who is very trustworthy and who's done a project many times? Of course not. You may not have to follow up at all. However, the newer employee or someone who has not had a chance to do a project before, we may have to follow up a lot to help give them the guidance that they need. Don't leave them floundering on their own to make a lot of mistakes. We can help set them in the right direction, and follow up is one of the tools that we as professional managers, professional delegators can use to keep projects running smoothly. We have to, number one, tell them what we expect, get feedback, have specific deadlines, follow up, and finally, reward. You know, I'd venture to say that this is the one thing that most managers rarely, if ever, do. Oh, you say, no, Mike, not me. I'm always rewarding. I'm always telling people they're doing a great job. Sure. We say, did you do that project? Yes, we did. Or, yes, I did. And they say, great, here's another one. Oh, isn't that rewarding? I learned something from Dr. Michael Abuff. He said, in the greatest management principle in the world, which is simply you get whatever behavior you reward, that most of us tend not to reward people's behavior when it's good. We say a quick thank you, and then we give them more work. Let's say, for example, that you have someone who is very productive, very good worker, does high-quality work. On the other hand, you got another worker that's a little lazy, maybe a little shiftless, maybe poor-quality worker. Well, you've got a big project. Who do you delegate it to? Yes, we typically give it to the good worker. Now, if the slower worker, the poorer worker, is falling behind on something, what do? You take it away from them. And then who do you give it to? You give it to the good worker. Oh, isn't that rewarding? Now, the good worker has learned the consequence, i.e. the reward of doing good work, is more work. And the poor worker or the slow worker has learned that by doing lousy work or poor quality work or by working slowly, the reward is you get less work. Well, we need to shift that around. Here's a way you might be able to do that. If you have a major project to do, rather than delegate it to the person who you would normally give it to, or to the good worker, go first to the good worker and say, you know, I've got this big project, it's very important, but rather than have me dump it on you, I would like someone else to pick up your skills because you are so good at handling this kind of a project. Would you be willing to act as a tutor, as a mentor to that individual, to help them? As a matter of fact, I can even take some of your work away to compensate for some of the time spent on tutoring this other individual. Would you be willing to help me out? Now, chances are it's not only a reward because you've not dumped something on them. It's also a reward because they now have a new challenge. It's also a reward because it's a compliment for them being such outstanding workers. Then you go to the person who needs to learn the task or activity, the person who's perhaps been a little bit slower, had some difficulties. And in private, you say to them, I'd like to give you this very important project. I trust you, and I know that you can handle it. But based on some of the discussions that we've had and some of the situations we've been running into lately, I know that if I just dumped it on you, you might be floundering, you might have some difficulty. But I trust you and know you can do this, so if you're willing to take on the project, I will give to you a mentor to help you, to help guide you through it and to show you what to do. They won't do the work for you, but the mentor will help show you exactly what you need to do so you can complete this task on time and with the kind of quality you know that we expect. Would you be willing to help me out with it? Now, they get rewarded because they get a chance to do a major project, they get the chance to do it well, and you don't have to yell at them after the fact because now with the mentor, they actually do it right. So here we are able to reward the behavior that we really want from people. We need to tell them what we want them to do. We need to get feedback to make sure they understand, set specific deadlines, follow up, and then actually reward people for what they've done. Other ways of rewarding might include taking the time to go through the project and highlight specific things that you do in fact like. Face it, if it's a major project, people have put their heart, their soul, their mind, their creativity into that project. The more you specifically highlight those items that they worked on, the more specifically you are rewarding their behavior and you'll receive greater benefits from them in the future. Just simply saying, good job, or that was nice, is not sufficient. You may say that, for example, for them just even showing up in the morning. We have to be specific to get the rewards to work for us. Now, when we go through the delegation process, make sure that we delegate authority, not just the tasks. If you give somebody a project, give them the budget to work with. If you give them an assignment to do, make sure they have all the information and tools necessary to complete that assignment. Nothing slows a person down more than the feeling of floundering and not having the resources, tools, motivation, equipment, whatever it is necessary to complete a project. Always having to come back and ask permission can really be frustrating for an individual. They feel like they're treated like children. Make sure we give authority, not just the tasks. Another thought is to consider the best time of the day when you go to delegate. Most managers delegate in the morning. They've been working late in the evening or they've been working at night and now they've got some things ready and they come in the first thing in the morning and dump things on everybody's desks. That throws off their day. Haven't you planned out your day when you come in the morning as a professional? You've got your to-do list, you know what you're going to do. And having planned this wonderful day for yourself, how do you feel when your boss comes in and dumps things on your desk? All of a sudden, your plan goes out the window, and with it, your motivation, your productivity. Here's what you may want to consider. Towards the end of the day, maybe not at the very end when people have to be thinking about it on their way home, but maybe towards the end of the day, go to the individual that you want to delegate to and give them the task or assignment that you want them to complete the following day. It allows them the time to plan, to think, to organize their day. And at the same time, their subconscious will work on it at night, which will give them the creative energy needed to complete the task efficiently and effectively. Delegating at the right time of the day can be a great tool and a boost for you as a professional manager or supervisor. Now you say, Mike, my problem is my boss dumps on me first thing in the morning. Well, knowing that, why not go to your boss towards the end of the day and ask for assignments for the next day? After your boss recovers from the coronary from somebody actually coming and asking for work, you may be able to find out what projects are going to be expected the next day, and now you can organize your day productively. Now you say, Mike, it won't work for me every day. Well, true, but what if it only worked 50% of the time? At least half of your days now would be better organized and fewer surprises. Now, even if you can't get your boss to delegate to you at the end of the day, you could perhaps put in time in your calendar to allow for things that will be delegated. As such, you won't feel like you're under a massive crunch in the first thing in the morning. Once you've delegated a task to someone, let go of it. Let them grow with it. Let them make some mistakes with it. Let them find out how to do it correctly. Certainly, if it's going to cost you a major customer or cost you a massive quantity of money, then you want to go and say, no, you got to do it this way or that way, or have you considered this? But generally, let them go with it. They may just surprise you and do it a totally different way than you would have done it. And as long as it gets done and gets done productively, what difference does it make? Say, but Mike, my way is the most productive. I know, I've worked on it or whatever. You may be surprised. They may come up with a better way. But be willing to let go of it. When you delegate to people, you want to consider their motivation level in accepting the delegation. Consider delegating with an eye on their future and where they're going. When you delegate something to somebody, you may want to approach them and say, hey, I'm grooming you to be my successor. I want to see how well you perform with this task, project, or activity. By doing that, they are infused with pride for what they're doing. They want to show off and strut their stuff. As such, they typically do the job better, faster, more productive, and beyond your expectations. Now, can you do that every time? No. And you certainly wouldn't do that with something simple. You wouldn't go to someone and say, I'm grooming you to be my successor. I'd like to see how you get me this cup of coffee. That would be ridiculous. But with certain projects, certain tasks, certain activities that are very important, it may be another tool that you can use as a professional. In terms of what to delegate and when to delegate, how to delegate, here's a couple of thoughts. When you make your master to-do list of everything that you need to do, go back to that list and next to each item, put a letter D next to those activities that you could possibly delegate to somebody else. By doing this, you're starting to think of all the things you could put on a separate to delegate list to make you and the people around you more productive. Don't just write D down next to those things that you have delegated, but rather those things you should or could be delegating to somebody else. After writing the letter D next to those activities, put down the initials of the people that should be able to do those tasks and activities, not just the people who've done them before in the past. See, the problem is we typically delegate the same work to the same people all the time. Well, they don't grow, they don't innovate, and the people around them tend to stagnate. We need to give tasks and activities to people who need the added stimulus, the added work, the new ideas, or the new challenge. Now you say, Mike, but then that means more work for me in terms of having to go and teach them how to do it. Not necessarily. If you've had someone else who's successfully done the task in the past, ask them now to be the mentor for the person you're giving the new delegation to. This way you find you take the burden of responsibility of teaching off of your shoulders and giving it as an added challenge to someone else. In other words, you've now delegated the training portion of delegation to someone else. When you go and look at what to delegate, if you prioritize your work by A, B, and C, as Alan Lakin suggests in his book, How to Get Control of Your Time in Your Life, delegate all of the C activities, those things that are less important like putting fuel in your car, or like cleaning up around the office, or perhaps even just simple paperwork. Those things could be given to somebody else and take that burden of responsibility off of you. Most of the B's, those are the things that are fairly important, but they are not exactly what you were hired to do, you can delegate to someone else. The A work, the most important, the high priority work, is what you ought to be spending your time on. Face it, that's what you were hired to do, not to do the C's and the B's because someone else can be doing those. You need to be thinking about what you ought to be doing with your time. Do the A priority things as opposed to all the other little things that tend to clutter our lives. Face it, delegation is probably the single most important thing for the professional supervisor or manager to do. We need to look at how to delegate, when to delegate, and whom to delegate to. This idea that there is no one to delegate to is foolishness. Even if we have to hire somebody out of our own pockets, we can find somebody to delegate to. Look at it this way. If you're hesitating on delegation, why deny someone the privilege of learning part of your job or part of your responsibility? Make sure that we effectively delegate to other people so we become more productive ourselves and use our time to the best of our abilities.